The Older Persons Commissioner is with us this morning, Eddie Lynch. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
What's your reaction when you hear those stories?
Well, Stephen, the reality is that I've been hearing, and my team have been hearing those stories for the past 16 months. Paul and Karen are two of many families who participated in our investigation and had the bravery and courage to come forward and tell their stories, tell what happened to their loved ones. And, you know, I think listening to those stories this morning, they outline the failures of care much more than I could ever outline it. But they're not the only ones. And that is what my report that has come out this week has highlighted. It has highlighted the severe failings of care and treatment of older people, vulnerable older people living with dementia, who had no one to speak up for them apart from their families. And, you know, I must say that the families have played a huge part in this investigation, as well as being interviewed along with staff, ex-staff, trust officials, RQAA, all the authorities were interviewed. But the families have played a huge role in telling us the full picture of what happened in Dunmurry Manor. And throughout the last 16 months, I think it's worth saying, those families have remained extremely dignified and silent throughout a long, hard process. They respected the fact that the investigation must be held in private. And it's disgraceful that now that this report has come out, that they're having to come out again in public and almost justify their evidence again. And, you know, that's what makes me so angry, that this report gives so much evidence of failings. And for any authority to start questioning it is incredible.
Well, you may say that, but they are entitled to question your findings if they disagree with them, Eddie. And that's what the RQIA is doing. They're saying that they do not agree with some of your conclusions. And they say that they did find instances where the quality of care was not to be expected standard, and they say they worked with the management of the home to support improvement. In terms of what they disagree with you on, they say they do not agree that what they found meets the definition of institutional abuse. They say in respect of the findings of resident-on-resident sexual assault, they are very concerned at how the Commissioner has chosen to present this finding. What's your reaction to that?
Well, firstly, Stephen, let me just explain something about the process. Under my legislation, a number of months ago, I had to inform any relevant authority of any adverse finding emerging from my investigation. So all the relevant authorities received the adverse findings many months ago.
They're saying it's draft.
Draft findings, yes. But those draft findings, the authorities then had a chance to view the evidence, which they did. Then they had a chance to refute the evidence. They had an opportunity to bring forward evidence to challenge any of the findings. They had an opportunity to go to oral hearings through the process and challenge it, and they didn't take that up. They didn't provide evidence to counteract the findings of this investigation.
So are you telling me, just so we all understand this, are you telling me that the RQIA is presenting a situation this morning where they're saying they do not agree with your findings, but when they had the opportunity to present evidence to disagree with it, they didn't do that?
That's correct. And I think,
well, even that in itself asks a question of the RQIA. You know, if they're you might be wrong, with all due respect to you. So why weren't they using, you know, how competent is an authority who has a process to object to findings before they're published, and they don't object to them, and then say after that we object to these?
Well, just to be clear,
are you sure they didn't object to your findings?
Just to be very clear here, as part of that process, they did make out that they weren't happy with some of the findings and put that in letters, but they didn't provide any evidence to counteract them. They didn't take up an opportunity to challenge them through an oral hearing, and they didn't provide any. And they saw the evidence, written evidence, oral evidence, backing up all of these findings. That's a question for them, Stephen. Why
well,
they
let's,
didn't?
Let's ask it. Olive McLeod, you're the chief executive of the RQIA. You may be choosing not to speak to the public this morning, but the questions will be put to you. Why did you not take up the opportunity for an oral hearing, not on your behalf, on behalf of the public who pays your wage? Why did you not provide evidence if this is wrong? This programme will ring Olive McLeod right now and ask her again, is she prepared to reassure the public about these matters? The substance of their disagreement, Eddie, seems to be that they're saying that you defined this as sexual assault. They are saying that, look, because people have dementia, they say disinhibited sexual behaviour is not uncommon in people with dementia. For that reason, it is not regarded as criminal activity. So they're clearly inferring that you regarded this as possible criminal activity. Did you?
No. And I issued a statement yesterday. Nowhere in my report or in any press or media have I said that people displaying disinhibited sexual behaviour is criminal.
So why then does the RQIA say in their statement, RQIA does not believe there's any justification for the Commissioner's presentation of this finding? So the clear inference that you presented it as criminal activity.
Well, and I have issued a statement to refute that. Stephen, I want to say something about this. In these, this is true that this can be one of the symptoms of somebody with dementia. A good care home manages that situation to ensure that that behaviour doesn't affect other residents. And there are two victims here. There are two adults to be protected, both the victim of assaults, but also the person themselves, because they don't have the mental capacity. And, you know, I think that's very important as well. I have at no time put any blame on any resident who has no capacity. And I think this is, you know, that is misleading. But I would say my focus, to me, this is a distraction. The evidence is in the report. The families came to me and told me about how their loved ones were sexually assaulted. And, you know, the evidence is overwhelming. There's many, many examples of this. And my focus this week was on telling the truth, explaining what has happened to the people in this home, how they were let down by the system. But my focus is on getting something done about it, to get the authorities to recognise that there has been major failings here, and more importantly, for something to be done about it. Because this can never happen again. And people across Northern Ireland need to be assured that the authorities are responding in a serious fashion to these very serious findings to make sure that not one older person goes through this again.
Let's now walk through some of the things that I understand happened and help the public with the timeline of this. So Dunmurry Manor Care Home, they opened in July 2014, and the RQIA did take some action. They made it close to new admissions in October 2014. So 3 months later, they're saying you're not taking new people in because they had concerns about it. So the first question I have at that stage is, okay, what was happening in that home? And this failure to comply notice that they gave Dunmurry Home, the regular standard is that they have 90 days to get back to compliance, okay? That's how long they've got. Do you know how long Dunmurry took? 9 months. So why was that allowed to continue for 9 months? What should have kicked in after 90 days? Why didn't it kick in after 90 days? So at that stage, as early as 2014, they knew that things were not going right within that home. They'd made it close to new admissions in October 2014. The longer period of non-compliance was later, because it had a failure to comply period between October 2016 and July 2017. So it was happening again. What was happening in that home? Well, you have uncovered, Eddie, there were serious bed sores. My goodness, we've heard a live example of one of them this morning. As far back as from December 2014. There were a high number of safeguarding incidents from 2014. Those included physical assaults. There were a high number of unwitnessed falls leading to injury. You have knowledge of serious sexual assaults as early as 2015. And yet that home, no one has lost their job and they continue to profit from the people of Northern Ireland. Is that right?
That's all accurate, Stephen, yes.
They continue to make money.
Yes.
They haven't been fined, have they?
No.
No one's lost their job. My goodness, they don't even speak to the people of Northern Ireland verbally. It's all in written statements so we can't question them. Is this all private money or is there public money goes into this company? It's public money, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Probably millions of pounds.
A mixture of public, Stephen, money from the trust, but there are also some self-funders in the home as well.
So the trusts continue to support this company by giving them money. A company that will not interact with people. A company that allowed many of our elderly citizens in Northern Ireland to have their last few months in pain. The RQIA, Eddie, ultimately reports to the Department of Health, doesn't it?
Yes, that's correct, Stephen.
So what's the Permanent Secretary, Richard Pengelly, doing about this? What's he doing?
Well, that's a question for him. He's issued a statement saying the department are considering the report and will respond in due course.
But you say they've had your headline concerns for 2 months.
Yes, actually longer than that, but yes.
So now, the department have had people that have gone in to look at Dunmurry recently, haven't they?
Yes. I mean, the department issued 2 reports on Monday of this week. One was a report into the current situation in Dunmurry Manor, and they reported a clean bill of health, really.
Who did the inspection?
They employed an independent person to do the inspection for them, and that was carried out over 2 days in May this year, last month.
So why then... And I think this is a fair question. Why, while there is uncertainty as to the competence of the RQIA, why is the department not having all inspections in Northern Ireland done by that independent company? Can we trust the RQIA or can we not? Well, let me ask you, do you trust them to be a competent authority in their inspection regime?
Well, I've been very clear, Stephen, that my 59 recommendations this week, the findings that I found in this investigation have outlined clear flaws in the inspection process, and I've made a number of recommendations to help fix those flaws. For example, inspections are mainly carried out Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. Those people need to be reassured that their care is good 7 days a week, day and night, 365 days a year.
Are the inspections often announced or unannounced?
They're unannounced. But I want to see inspections happen at night time. I want to see inspections happen at weekends. I want to see changes to the type of inspections that occur in the homes. Another major failure that I believe and my experts believed was how few members, relatives of the residents were spoken to as part of the inspection process. And we think that's a real flaw in the process, because we feel that, you know, the families and relatives of residents are a very rich vein of information to find out how they feel their loved one is being looked after. And that's something that the RQIA need to do more to involve them in future inspections as well.
There's a statement by the Department of Health's Permanent Secretary, Richard Pengelly. And by the way, there are so many if you want on air. What we will do is we will... We'll spend the next 4 minutes with Eddie, and then we will get political reaction and indeed your public reaction if you're calling the programme today after 10. So we're clearing the decks. This is too important. 030 30 80 55 55. So the Permanent Secretary, Richard Pengelly, yesterday issued the following statement. He said, "No one should be in any doubt about how seriously this issue is being taken and indeed has been taken." He says, "I will be holding a meeting of the different HSC organisations involved in this case. I am making clear that each of these bodies, HSC bodies, including the department, will compile and publish detailed point-by-point responses to the COPNI report." Mr Pengelly says, "It does not need to be acknowledged. It does need to be acknowledged, my fault, that the RQIA took enforcement action against the management of Dunmurry Manor Care Home. This enforcement action undoubtedly helped secure much-needed improvements in care." And he says the department has commissioned independent assessments with a particular focus on the present-day standard of care at Dunmurry Manor. Findings from these assessments were published this week, providing an important level of assurance to residents and their families on current care standards. You see, it would be wrong for all the focus to be on the RQIA this morning, Eddie. You know, this company, Runwood Homes UK, what is happening in their other homes in Northern Ireland if the RQIA is inspecting them and missed some stuff before? Those homes might be perfect, but they might not.
Well, I can only speak, Stephen. Obviously, this is the only home that we have looked at in terms of the investigation. So, you know, I make my comments based on evidence. The other homes, I know one of their homes was closed last July, Ashbrook in Enniskillen. There was another home that was in failure to comply until recently. But I know the RQIA did do a check of all the homes last year on the back of that closure.
How can the public trust them? How can they trust their inspections if you're saying they missed a lot?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, and I mean... I'm being very clear that I believe that, you know, to have that trust in the inspection process, the recommendations that I'm outlining this week need to be followed up and implemented. And, you know, until that happens, I think there is a question mark about how people can trust the process. And it's, you know, I think there needs to be accountability shown here. The RQIA and the other authorities need to be saying what action they're taking to reassure the public.
Did old people die or have their final months, Eddie, in pain and in distress that shouldn't have happened?
Well, there's no evidence to directly link somebody's death with the treatment in the home, Stephen, but there's no doubt about it that many older people in that home lived their last few months in very unsatisfactory conditions. And there were people who left that home unconscious, who never returned to the home. That's a fact.
Well, they might have left the home unconscious because of a medical condition that would have happened anyway.
Yes, of course. But, you know, the clear evidence is that many of the people in that home didn't receive the standard of care that they were entitled to. That clearly came out in the evidence through my investigation. And, you know, that's the issue that needs to be focused on now. We need to focus on taking the actions, working across all authorities to take the actions required to ensure that we can provide the standards of care that every older person in Northern Ireland deserves.
If you had an elderly relative, would you put them into a home run by Runwood Homes UK?
Well, I have to say, Stephen, you know, I'm human. I've listened to this stuff for the last 16 months. It doesn't fill you with confidence. You know, it can't do. I would be worried, and I'm very conscious there's many people out there who will be worried by this report. And I don't want to unnecessarily raise fears as well. I want to say this morning that there are many good homes out there. We know that. We know that from this investigation, because many families actually moved their loved ones from Dunmurry Manor, placed them in other homes, and saw a massive improvement. And
I'm not asking about other homes. I'm asking about Runwood Homes. Would you put an elderly relative into one of their homes, given what you've seen?
Well, certainly be asking questions of the management. How could they assure me that the home wasn't going to have failures of care that they're not shown in Dunmurry Manor? And okay, I would be seeking that information before I make that decision.
We're going to hear from the public in the next few minutes. In the meantime, Eddie, thank you very much indeed.